Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
This is Tim Staples of Catholic Answers. I'm excited to let you know that I also teach high school apologetics for homeschoolconnections.com, an online Catholic curriculum provider. There are also recorded independent learning courses at homeschoolconnections.com. Whether you take apologetics with me, literature with Joseph Pierce, or philosophy with Bill Donahue, or any of the other 400-plus courses with homeschoolconnections.com, it's a great way to get Catholic learning for your family.
Oh, Lord, my God, Thou searchest me. My heart and mind are known to Thee. Nothing is hidden from Thy eyes. When I sit down and when I rise, and from afar Thou art discerning my thoughts and hopes, my secret.
So we'll start by praying the deck of the rosary. Today we'll meditate upon the third glorious mystery, which is the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the apostles. So before Jesus went up to heaven, he told the apostles not to go out to preach right away, but first to make a retreat, to go to an upper room where Jesus celebrated the Last Supper, and with his mother Mary, and the apostles to spend 9 days and nine nights in prayer, which they did do. And as a result of that, the Holy Spirit descended upon Mary and the apostles in tongues of fire. And they were radically transformed. So much so that when Peter got up to give a homily, try to imagine this church filled 3 times. 3,000 people. He converted 3,000 people in one homily. Wow. If I could convert three in every homily, I'd be happy. They all said, what are we going to do? He said, repent of your sins and be baptized. And 3,000 baptized after one homily. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. So you still have another year before you're going to be confirmed, but we want to be talking more and more about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God, and He gives us a lot of light, a lot of peace, a lot of joy, a lot of holiness, and a lot of wisdom, and even eloquence in where we speak about God. So I'll say the first part and you respond. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Glory be to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. O my Jesus, forgive us our sins. As mentioned, maybe about 10 weeks ago, one of the movies that really impressed me over the past 10, 11 years is, in Spanish, it's called El Gran Milagro. El Gran Milagro, which is English for The Greatest Miracle. And one of the essential themes in this is that of happiness and sadness. Happiness and sadness. We're all called to be happy. But the question is, if we're called to be happy, sometimes we're not happy. And we meet some people that are everything but happy. They're very sad. And the movie starts off with these three people that are very sad. They're depressed. They're discouraged. Their life seems to be without any meaning and purpose. Until the three of them have an encounter with their guardian angel. And their guardian angel take them to the same place by three different routes. And they end up in church. Then the guardian angel sits down to next to them. The two of them are women that are widows who have lost their husbands. One, a younger woman, her name is Doña Monica, who's got a son of about 12 years of age, Diego, and an older woman. Then there's a man who's a bus driver who's sad because his son is dying of terminal cancer. So they're all suffering depression. The guardian angel sits down, and then the Mass starts. Then the guardian angel explains every part of the Mass, from the entrance to the penitential rite, to the Gloria, to the first reading, second reading, the Gospel, the homily, the liturgy of the Eucharist. And then the three of them receive Holy Communion. And they leave the church filled with joy. Filled with joy. They started filled with sadness. The end, filled with joy. The reason? They were sad because they were living without Jesus. They're living outside the church. They're living without the Mass. They're living without Holy Communion. And once they started to walk with Jesus, visit Jesus, go to the Mass, participate in the Mass, receive communion, their lives were radically transformed. So we're called to happiness, and that's exactly what we're going to be talking about today. Open up your notebooks. You're going to write down in your notebooks the greatest miracle. The greatest miracle and secret to happiness. The greatest miracle and the secret to happiness is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. The greatest miracle and the secret to happiness is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. So today, we're going to learn how to participate more fully, actively, consciously in Mass, and to derive many more fruits from the greatest gift from God, which is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. So, on our horse, let's go. Number one. Now, what I'm going to say now is maybe obvious to you, but if we skip over this, we're going to be missing a lot in the Mass. The first point is this: come early for Mass. Come early for Mass. And probably all of you know from experience, when you come late for Mass, you're distracted the whole Mass. Okay? It's the way it is. You're distracted the whole Mass. You come in late, you're trying to find a chair, you trip over someone, someone glares at you, and you sit down, you're listening to part of the second reading, you're basically lost the whole Mass. So make sure that you come 10 minutes early. Now, I think I'm reading your minds now. I can't read your lips because they're covered with your masks. But some of you are probably thinking, well, Father Broome, that depends upon my parents. You probably, and your parents, one is more punctual than the other, right? It's usually the way it is, right? So if your parents tend to be late, then you have to just say, look, Mom, let's leave the house 15 minutes early. Because arriving early for Mass, it gets us into the mood. Remember when I was playing varsity baseball in high school? In New Jersey. My coach, he said, if you arrive 1 minute late for practice, you're going to be benched next game. I never arrived late at practice because I didn't want to be a bench warmer. I don't think you want to be spiritual bench warmers, do you? So make sure you come early. It's like if you've ever played sports, before you get on the playing field, you got to warm up, huh? You got to warm up. So we have to warm up for Mass. We come late, we're not in the mood for Mass. We have to change from the active to the contemplative mood. And you know, Mass is usually about an hour. Maybe a little bit longer if the preacher preaches a long homily, huh? And sometimes they go on a little bit longer. Yeah. However, it's going to be an hour, more or less. That is the most important hour of the whole week. Do you know how many hours in the week? Are you good at math? 24 times 7? I'll tell you, I'm not good at math, but I'll tell you, it's 168. There are 168 hours in the week. Can't we give God 1 hour? Is that too much? And how much time do we waste on things that are really not that important? Yeah? So make sure you don't give God the crumbs from the table. Give him the sirloin steak. Give him the best. Don't give God the leftovers. Give God the best. Because look what he gave for us. He gave himself for us on the cross by shedding every drop of his blood. So it probably depends upon your parents. Maybe your parents are not punctual, but tell them at least to be punctual for Mass. Amen? Okay, number two. In the parish, there is a Mass intention. You notice when the priest starts the Mass, he says, this Mass will be offered for a certain person. Last night he offered the Mass, and the Mass was for Joan Broome. I don't know if you know who she is. She happens to be my mother. That's a good intention. So there's usually a Mass intention that was asked for months before. But that does not exclude you from making your own intentions. Sometimes I have so many intentions, I think the altar is going to cave in. I will put sometimes so many people on the altar, I think the altar is going to cave in. But thanks be to God, it's marble, so it's a pretty strong altar. It's marble. Marble is pretty strong. So let me offer you, among many intentions, I'll give you three suggestions. Okay, the first intention you can make when you're receiving, when you're going to Mass and you're receiving communion, the first intention, you can write down, this is still number two, you can write A, B, and C, is to pray for the souls in purgatory. Pray for the souls in purgatory. Pray for the souls in purgatory. If someone dies in the state of grace but has some venial sins on the soul and some other sins that haven't been purified enough, purgatory. And purgatory is a fire. It's a fire that burns away. And the fire hurts. It burns away those sins. You can never go wrong for praying for the souls in purgatory. 4.5 years ago, my father died. 4.5 years ago. And in his funeral mass, it was packed. We had about 8 priests saying the mass. And then he has 9 children and 39 grandchildren. That's a big family. And my father actually, he built a Catholic school. Well, other people helped him up, but he was the one that was kind of like the main support of a Catholic school in which hundreds, if not thousands, of children have graduated and going to Ave Maria in Steubenville because of my father. My father never missed Mass on Sunday. Now, my father was not perfect. He was not perfect. So even though we've had many masses off of him, I'm going to be praying for him until I die. Until he died. He may have gone to heaven when we had all those masses and children praying for him. He may have gone up right away, but I don't know. Only God knows. So some of you have maybe a grandfather or someone in your family that died. Don't place him in heaven yet. Don't canonize him. You know what you sometimes hear? Well, he's no longer suffering. He's in a better place. He's in a happy hunting ground in heaven. Don't say that for my funeral mass, please. So it's false compassion. When someone dies, oh, he's up in heaven. How do you know? You're not God. Only God knows. So pray and offer your communion for the souls in purgatory. Okay, Okay, the second intention, letter B, write this in there. Offer your communion for the conversion of sinners, especially family members. For the conversion of sinners, especially family members. All of you have someone in your family, maybe an older brother, maybe your father, maybe an uncle, maybe that is no longer going to church. He's a Catholic, but he's no longer going to church. Well, your Mass and your communion could inspire him to come back. This is the way it works. You go to Mass, you receive communion, please, God, help my uncle to come back. And he has a thought in his mind, inspiration. Why didn't you go to confession? Oh, I guess I will. He goes to confession, and the next Sunday he's in Mass. That's because of your communion. I mean, it's all invisible, but that's the way God works. That's the way God works. I have a relative in my family. He's the nicest guy in the world. But he's no longer going to church. And I'm praying for him for many, many years. Happens to be one of my younger brothers. And he's the most likable person you've ever met. But he's moved away from church. We've all asked him to come back, and he says, not yet. So, not to talk to him about God, but to talk to God about him. Amen? Like that? Not to talk to him about God, but talk to God about him. Got that? So let God come down and speak to him rather than us. Yeah. Okay, now your third intention. Write this down. For my own spiritual heart transplant. Amen? Yeah. Like that? For my own spiritual heart transplant. The quickest way for you people to become better people is by Mass and Holy Communion. It's the quickest way. So those are just three among many, many intentions. So the priest will have his intention. Make sure that you offer your intentions. Otherwise, many graces that God wants to give us, he doesn't give them because we don't ask. Ask and you'll receive. Seek. You'll find. Knock. And the door will be open. Whoever asks, receives. Whoever seeks, finds. Whoever knocks, the doors will be open. Number three. Let's move on. I say as Catholics as a whole, we're pretty weak in this area, number three. And it's this, participate fully, actively, and consciously in Mass. Participate fully, actively, and consciously in Mass. It's true that the priest is the celebrant who represents Christ. He's the president of the assembly. But it's not only my Mass, it's your Mass too. And I always say that participation as a whole, aside from daily Mass, no. Daily Mass people participate. But Sunday Mass is pretty weak. I'd say the creed, maybe 20% of the people say the creed on Sunday, which is sad. 20%. You say the creed, 20%. And what I would do if I lay people, just get a missal, and you know how to read, read it. Read it and learn the responses. When my father was your age, he was an altar boy, and the Mass was in Latin, and had to memorize all the responses in Latin when he was your age. Yeah. He had to memorize the whole dialogue between the people. The altar boy had to know that in Latin. And if he didn't know it, the priest would give it to him. So really, you don't have to memorize too many parts, but the parts you should know, memorize them. Bring a missalette. Another area where we're pretty weak in Mass is the choirs do a good job. We have a lot of choirs, and they all work hard in trying to encourage the people to sing. But as a whole, the people don't sing that much. You're probably going to laugh at what I'm going to tell you now. Is I do a lot of Masses in Spanish. A lot of Masses in Spanish. Most Masses I do in Spanish. Is, you know when the people sing most in Spanish? When the choir doesn't show up and they only have Padre Escobita. Yeah? You know why? Because I know the people really well. I've known some of your moms and dads for 20 years, way before you were born. I know some of your moms before they knew your father. So I know the songs that they know. And I have a pretty good ear. I'm not a music major, but I have a pretty good ear for simple songs. So what do? I will sing songs that they know, and I get them to sing along with me. Such as, Alabare, 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 a mi Señor. Alabare, 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 a mi Señor. Juan vil el número de los redimidos y todos alababan al Señor. Unos cantaban, otros oraban y todos alababan al Señor. Alabaré, 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 alabaré a mi Señor. Alabaré, 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 alabaré a mi Señor. Yo tengo un amigo que me ama, me ama, me ama. Yo tengo un amigo que me ama, su nombre es Jesús. Estaremos en la viña trabajando, en la viña del Señor. Estaremos en la viña trabajando, en la viña del Señor. And I love it. You all know the song. Before you know it, everyone, even your little brother Santiago, is going like this. Huh? You see, being the head of the Mass, it's up to me to try to get the people to participate. And they know that song. It's very easy to memorize those songs, and they're liturgical too. They're related to the Mass. So try to participate more in Mass, not to be a bench warmer. Okay? Don't be a bench warmer. Number four. So you got a free song today, huh? You got a free song. All right. Number four is very important. Listen attentively to the Bible, the Word of God. Listen attentively to the Bible, the Word of God. So in Sunday Mass, we listen to the Word of God four times. So let's write down the four different times that we have the Word of God in the Mass on Sunday. This is all number four. The first is the Old Testament reading. The Old Testament reading. Usually the first reading is the Old Testament reading, aside from Easter time. Then after the first reading, what do you have? Number two would be the psalm, or the responsorial psalm, which is a prayer over the first reading. Then what follows is the second reading taken from usually St. Paul, one of the epistles of St. Paul. And then the last reading, which is the most important, people stand up, and that is the gospel, or Spanish evangelio, gospel, which means good news. We stand up for that. We give most reverence to the gospel because that's Jesus speaking to us directly. Then the homily is the priest takes from the readings and he tries to explain it in such a way that the people can put into practice the word of God. There we have it. So you notice in the Mass, they go up there and do the reading. We're supposed to, in that moment, have our ears open to listen. To listen with our ears, to memorize in our minds, to understand with our intellect, and to put into practice in our lives. So we want to go from ears to head to heart to feet. Put it into practice. That is called the liturgy of the word. So you might put in parentheses, it's called the liturgy of the word. Liturgy of the word. Okay, number five, after the liturgy of the word, which the priest explains the word of God to the people with a homily, then you have, this is number five, your profession of faith, the profession of faith also called the creed. The profession of faith also called the creed. So write down next to that, the essential parts of what we believe as Catholics. The essential part of what we believe as Catholics. Now, God willing, in about a year, you're going to be confirmed. We hope. What would happen if someone comes up to you and says, well, what do you believe as Catholics? Explain the creed to them. There you have it. If you want to go deeper, okay, I'd like you to write this down. The Catechism of the Catholic Church. The Catechism of the Catholic Church. So the Catechism of the Catholic Church explains the Creed in about 100 pages. 100 pages explains who God is, who the Father is, who the Son is, who the Holy Spirit is, and then a lot of other things. So eventually you might get the Catechism of the Catholic Church, ask your mom and dad to buy that for you, and read through it slowly. It's not easy reading, but that will explain to us the essence of our Catholic faith. Okay, right now, we're going to be moving into what is called the Liturgy of the Eucharist. The Liturgy of the Eucharist, and this is the very heart. This is the very heart of our Catholic faith. Now, up to this point, this is what the Protestants would have up to this point. And we move into what the Catholics have. Protestants, if you ever go to a Protestant church, they would have almost everything I've told you up to this point. The Cristianos, as they say in Mexican. Okay, number six is this. This, okay, right at the very top of these next five numbers, the liturgy of the Eucharist. The liturgy of the Eucharist. The liturgy of the Eucharist. So number six is, these are the three key points, the very heart of the Mass, the liturgy of the Eucharist. So number six is offertory. The offertory. If your memory goes beyond the pandemic, which is about a year and 2 months, if you ever come to Mass, remember the offertory procession, you'd have some people coming up from the back, presenting water and wine and some other gifts, maybe flowers or something else, or Bible. So there's an offertory procession. And that's given to the priest, the priest thanks him, and the priest places that on the altar. Okay, now that offertory procession culminates in the priest offering the bread and the wine. You see the priest lifting up the bread and the wine. Okay, what does this mean for us? Write this down. I renew my intentions. I renew my intentions of the Mass during the offertory. I renew my intentions of the Mass during the offertory. So when you see the offertory procession, you see the priest lifting up the bread and wine, I'm going to offer that for my uncle Juan that died. He might be in purgatory. I'm going to offer it for my cousin who's no longer going to church. My own spiritual heart transplant. Lord, give me greater love for you. So you're living out the offertory. Thing is, in Mass, we're too passive. We're too passive. We've got to be engaged in Mass. We've got to participate. We've got to be part of it. We've got to live the Mass. Your salvation depends upon living out the Mass. The two greatest things that you can do in your life is to receive Holy Communion and receive absolution. Amen. That's offertory. Okay, number seven. Consecration. Offertory consecration. So number seven, consecration. So let's explain that as clearly as possible. What is consecration? Consecration is when the bread and wine, the bread and wine is transformed or changed into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. That's il gran milagro. Right, Stella? That's the great miracle. That's the great miracle. So when I take that bread and I say the words that Jesus said, take and eat, this is my body, do this in memory of me. They take the cup of wine, take and drink this in my blood, do this in memory of me. When I say those words over the bread and wine, it's turned in to the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. Wow. Blows your mind, huh, if you think about it. Blows my mind because I'm a priest and I'm the one that does it. Pray for me. I'm aware of the greatness of it, and it's very humbling, because I'm a human person like all of you people, but I'm an ordained priest. What power! I think if the boys really believe that, they'd become priests. I believe it. I think they'd become priests. They really believe it. How much good our priests can do by bringing people God in Holy Communion. That's called consecration. Consecration. All right, next is getting better and better. We go from consecration now to, this is number 8, we go to Holy Communion. We go from consecration to Holy Communion. So write down, Holy Communion is truly the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. Wow. You should be thankful that you're Catholics, right? Even though we're going through a tough time, be thankful that you're Catholics. Church is always going through a tough time. I've studied church history. The church is always going through tough times. Putin Sheen said every 500 years the church goes through a crisis. So we're going through a difficult time now, but we'll get through it. So the greatest thing you can do in your life, the greatest thing, is to receive Holy Communion in Mass. Amen? Letticella, Rosa, yeah? Greatest thing we can do in our life is to receive Holy Communion. So the most important part of confirmation is Mass and Holy Communion, right? Really. We're talking about a lot of things in confirmation, but the most important thing in confirmation is what we're talking about today. You fill yourself with God, you're going to be on fire. You're going to be a soldier for Christ. You're going to bring a lot of people to God. You're going to be on fire. I have to call the firemen to put you out. Okay, now, a brief catechesis, still number 8. What are the conditions to receive Holy Communion according to the catechism? Okay, when you write this down, you have to know, okay, can I receive communion or not? There are 3 conditions. So you can put A, B, and C. Number 1 is, you have to believe in the real presence, that it's really Jesus. You have to believe in the real presence. This sometimes bothers me. Catholics will say, I'm going to go up to get the bread. Oh boy. Is that good? You're going to go up to get the bread. No, go to Food for Less. Or Ralph's. Okay? Or go to Bond's. Sorry, we have no bread here. Sorry, no bread here. You don't say, I'm going to go up and get the bread. You got to polish your vocabulary. What do you say? I'm going to receive Holy Communion. That's what you should say. I'm going to get the bread. Spanish, voy a agarrar el pan. I'm going to grab onto the bread. No. Great respect, even in your vocabulary. We have to have a more refined vocabulary. Yes. Okay, here's the 3 conditions. So the first is, letter A, you have to believe. Number 2 is you have to fast. You know what fast means? You go quick on the highway? No, it's not that. Fast means you can't eat. You know how long? When my mom was your age, it was from midnight on. Couldn't have even a drink of water. Back in 1938. My mom was a little girl. When I was your age, it was 3 hours. Now it's just 1 hour. So you have to fast 1 hour before receiving communion. This means no eating. You can't be drinking any soda or orange juice or eating candy. If you look at it, it's not that much. Say you go to Mass at 10 o'clock. You're finishing breakfast at 9:15. Priest is giving out communion at 10:45. So it's really very little. But you can have water and you can have medicine. So you have maybe a health condition, you can take medicine, that's okay. Okay, the third condition is, a letter C is, I have to be in the, write down the state of grace. The state of grace, I can't be in mortal sin. If you commit a mortal sin, you really shouldn't receive communion. You have to go to confession before. Mortal sin, remember what that is? It's something that's serious, full knowledge, full will. But I like to go beyond the minimal. Right down below this also. I should receive communion with faith, devotion, and great love. In other words, become very, very legalistic. With great faith, devotion, and love. And Thomas Aquinas says, and hunger for God, as a deer yearns for my running stream, so my soul yearns for you, O Lord my God. Hunger for God. Got that? Okay, number nine. Let me give you this number. Okay, write down Thanksgiving after communion. Thanksgiving after communion. What would happen if you invited me to your house to have dinner and I rang the doorbell and right away said, "Where's the food? I'm hungry." And then you say, "It's on the table," and I rush to the table and I just chow down and I rush out the back door without saying thank you. That's pretty rude, huh? I would be a rude dude. As they say in Espanol, mal educado. Mal educado. No? That'd be pretty ugly, wouldn't it, huh? Well, that's Father Broome. He can preach, but he doesn't have any manners. Mal educado, no? No, I wouldn't do that, no? Otherwise, I'd have to wash the dishes because of my bad conduct, huh? Well, we don't want to do the same thing in Holy Communion. After Holy Communion, you want to spend some time in thanksgiving. Some time in thanksgiving. Now, I think, have any of you ever gone to one of my masses yet? Have you? Have you been to my masses? Okay. What do I do after Holy Communion? You've been with me, huh? You were with me last night, huh? What do? I sit down. For 5 seconds? For 1 minute? I sit down for a good 5 minutes. Sometimes a little bit more. And I close my eyes. I say, "Oh, pobrecito padre, escobita está muy cansado." Oh, poor Father Broome, he fell asleep, he had a tough day. No, it's not that. No, because I'm talking to God. I'm talking to Jesus. I'm praising Him. I'm worshiping Him. I'm thanking Him. So I'm making my thanksgiving, and also I'm trying to give good example. Buen ejemplo. Trying to give good example. And so you shouldn't be looking at me, but talking to God. Say, "Look at my eye. Why are you looking at me? Oh, Padre, ¿por qué está durmiendo?" No, I'm not sleeping. Talking to Jesus. So that communion and those 5 minutes are the most important 5 minutes every week. Those are the most important minutes. 5-10 minutes every week. So what are you going to say to Jesus? You write this down. This is still number 9. To thank Him. Praise Him. Worship Him. Tell Him you're sorry. Beg Him for help and graces. And most important, this is probably the most important prayer we can say, is tell Jesus, Jesus, I love you. Yeah. Love Him. That's the most important. He wants to be loved. And He wants to hear it too. Oh, He already knows. No, He wants to hear it. Before I was a priest, I would sometimes spend an hour preparing for Mass, an hour Thanksgiving, when I had a little bit more free time. They felt I should give them an hour preparation and an hour in Thanksgiving. We're asking you, maybe 5 minutes, 6 minutes is really not that much time. And all the blessings that Jesus wants to give you, that's the moment, because you have them in your heart. Got that? Okay, number 10. And we finished. Almost. Number 10 is the following. Write down, be a missionary. Be a missionary. And bring Jesus and His love to the whole world. Be a missionary and bring Jesus and His love to the whole world. Yeah. So you have received Jesus. Now you have to bring Him to others. That's what it means to be confirmed. Confirmation means you have to bring Christ to others. Not just sit on your hands and play tic-tac-toe. No, you got to bring Jesus to others. Okay. Now, if you took this talk seriously and you really live it, you're going to get to heaven. This is the very heart of confirmation. So, homework activities. 3 homework activities. Okay, the first is this. I have to ask you a question. Do any of your parents, or maybe yourself, do you have the movie, that many of you speak Spanish, in Spanish it's called El Gran Milagro, or The Greatest Miracle. How many of you have The Greatest Miracle? That's not bad, probably about 30%, pretty good. So, those who don't have it, try to order it. Okay? Try to order it. It's called The Greatest Miracle. So, what I would like you to do for an activity, see if you can get that, and to watch that with your family. Watch it with mom and dad. When we have retreats, often we'll actually show that during our retreats, because it's so well done. It explains the Mass so well. Okay, number 2 is this. Are you listening? Before Mass, read through these notes and put them into practice. Really, if they put into practice these notes, your Mass and communion is going to skyrocket. It's going to go up like this. I'm a teacher. I'm teaching you free of charge. I should be making a lot of money for these classes, huh? At least put into practice what I'm teaching you. Now you can read through that in 10 minutes. We'll try to put into practice. My intention. So thank you. Okay, Father Groom, I'll pray for this uncle, I'll pray for my cousin, I'll pray that I'll become more patient. Try to live it out. And the third homework activity is this. Try to bring someone back to church. You know someone in your family, an uncle, maybe even someone at school that says, I'm a Catholic, but I don't go to church anymore. Try to bring someone back to church. Now, some people won't come because no one invites them. We have to learn how to be like St. Andrew. Invite people back. Invite them back. St. James says, he who brings someone back to the church saves his soul and expiates a multitude of sins. St. James chapter 5. Okay, so we're going to spend about 2 minutes in silent conversation with Jesus. Let's ask Jesus to really get us to love the Mass more and more, okay? The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God bless all of you.
This episode is brought to you by Hallo, the number one Catholic app. Hallo has 1,000 audio-guided prayers and meditations for you to deepen your relationship with God. To listen to all of the Hallo meditations for free for 30 days, head to hallo.com/breadbox.